We the People, I really appreciate your listening. Barbara Fisher, thanks a lot for engineering, and all of you out there. Can I be with you tomorrow? We're going to talk about, we're going to talk about the Enola Gay and why the American people are denied the right to know about the most significant historical event of the 20th century. Good night.
In commemoration of International Women's Month, the 40th anniversary of the independence of Ghana, and in solidarity with the democratic forces in the Congo Zaire, the Patrice Lumumba Coalition is issuing a call to all Lumumbas, revolutionaries, working class, oppressed, and freedom-loving people to attend an African International Forum, Generations of Resistance Against Imperialism in the Heart of Mother Africa, a rally to support the legacy of Patrice Lumumba and a reception for his son, Friday, March 7th, from 6:30 p.m. until 10 p.m. at the Harriet Tubman Learning Center, 127th Street and Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Boulevard in Harlem. Special guest of honor, Francois-Emery Lumumba, president of the Congolese National Movement. Special invited guest speakers, Marcus Garvey Jr., Dr. Betty Shabazz, Kwame Ture, Dr. Rashida Asmeli Abubakar, Viola Plummer, Ilunga Kalanzo, Samori Marksman, Kimati Dinazulu, and Ilambe Brass. For further information, call area code 212-663-3805. That's area code 212-663-3805.
It's 8 o'clock. This is WBAI in New York. Coming up next on Off the Hook, New York City in Crisis.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. It couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bump, for the best expect the worst. I hope that's understood, but Billy Bump.
Good evening to everybody. This is Off the Hook, coming to you live from the studios of WBAI in New York City. New York City, the town that was plunged into a crisis last week with the announcement that the 212 area code is on the verge of exhaustion. We'll be discussing what that means. We'll be taking suggestions from you on what we can do about it and looking together at the future and what it holds and how we can get through this thing together. But first, a couple of news items of interest. We talked about the Croatian hackers last week, and we have a official rebuttal from the U.S. Defense Department. They've flatly denied a report that high school computer hackers in Croatia broke Pentagon protection codes and copied highly classified files from U.S. military bases. They did not. The Croatian newspaper was in error on that issue, Defense Department spokesman Ken Bacon told reporters in response to questions. They have been neutralized. They will not bother us again.
Neutral?
Well, no, they didn't actually say that, but it was in his eyes. They did apparently get into some computers at Anderson Air Force Base in Guam, but to the best of my knowledge, they did not get into any classified files. It was entirely unclassified territory. Yes, so to the best of his knowledge, they didn't get into any classified... You got to read between the lines here.
For all we know, they just hit a website.
To the best of his knowledge, they didn't get into any classified files, but if there aren't any classified files, how could they even have gotten into them without his knowledge? You know, he's saying basically that there were classified files there, and he just hopes, he's praying to whatever God he believes in, that they didn't get into them. This man is very scared.
So he's agreeing that there were files that were classified.
He's admitting that they are totally owned by these Croatian hackers, okay? The Defense Department is on its knees right now. And I just wonder what the future holds for this country. I don't think that the New York City crisis is really going to measure up to this one. It's a dark day, that's for sure. Anyway, he said the matter was being investigated by the U.S. Air Force Office of Special Investigations.
Oh, the OSI, our old friends.
Those are the ones that they can't figure out. Those are the special investigations.
Yeah.
But I'm not aware that action has been taken against these fellows, whom I believe are teenagers at this time. Well, yeah, at this time, they're teenagers. 2 years, though, it's going to be a different story.
Yeah, they could be full-grown adults.
Yeah, absolutely. The Zagreb Daily, unpronounceable, said on Wednesday, the what? Three...
unpronounceable?
I tried last week, and it's not even worth getting into.
Okay.
Said on Wednesday, the three high school students surfing the internet on their home computer applied a search program and deciphered codes, barging into the database of several U.S. military installations. Have you ever had a database of yours get barged into? It's rude.
I can't say it's happened, personally.
You should knock before going into a database.
Definitely.
You know, especially if it's not yours. Anyway, the databases included those of the Anderson Nuclear Installation and an unnamed satellite research center. So, that's the story there as far as that goes. What else? Okay, how about this? This is kind of funny. With telephone fraud in the United States costing $3.7 billion a year and rising at double-digit rates. Are you aware of this?
Double-digit rates?
Double-digit rates. Telephone fraud is rising.
And this is according to whose statistics?
Well, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Bell Atlantic today, actually a couple days ago, called on industry rivals nationwide to band together to develop ways to stop the menace. In an unprecedented call for cooperation, the company urged all telecommunications carriers to join the alliance to outfox phone fraud. Can you believe they used the word outfox in the name of a company? The alliance, and it doesn't even spell anything. AOPF. How do you even say that? It's not like a clever thing. The alliance to outfox phone fraud. Who thought of that? Come on. I mean, Madison Avenue would never tolerate something like that.
Definitely.
I mean, you think maybe their logo is like a, you know, a little fox or something hunting down phone freak type people? Or...
Well, let's hope they use the fox part to their advantage.
Anyway, created 3 years ago, the alliance is a broad-based international group of telecommunications companies and related businesses whose goal is to create consumer awareness about telephone fraud and its prevention. Oh, here we go. Okay, I was right. The animated character Freddy the Phone Fraud Fox. Freddy the Phone Fraud Fox. That's amazing. I should be on the board of directors here. I was able to see that one a mile away. He serves as the official mascot for the public awareness campaign. We got to get this letterhead or you know, whatever Freddy the Phone Fraud Fox does. I want to see this. Anyway, in addition to Bell Atlantic, Alliance members include the American Public Communications Council, Bellcore Communications Fraud Control Association, Hewlett-Packard, Illinois Consolidated Telephone Company, Intelligence Switch Systems of Canada, 9X, Pacific Bell, Park Region Mutual Telephone Company, Pennsylvania Telephone Association, Public Service Telephone Company, and Southwestern Bell. The alliance is a key way for the growing number of carriers in the nation to pool their resources and share information about phone fraud occurrence and tips on prevention. Phone fraud has gone beyond tumbling or guessing at wireless phone numbers to cloning of wireless phones. The latest and fastest growing type of fraud is subscription fraud, which affects both wireline and wireless carriers. Such fraud can occur when a user provides the carrier with a false address, identification, or credit rating, and then makes long-distance phone calls on that account. In other words, they lie. They say that they're that person, and then they get information, they get credit in their name and things like that. Not really having much to do with phones or phone freaking or anything like that. But anyway, if you want more information about the Alliance or if you want to join, should we join? You can call 1-800-9-OUTFOX. Oh, come on, let's do it. You ready?
Okay, yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I got to see what these people are all about. when they have a voicemail system. Gotta look at the letters on the phone here. Fox.
Hi, I'm Freddie. Thanks for calling the Alliance to Outfox phone fraud. Please let us know how you heard about the Alliance. Leave your name, address, phone number, and the purpose of your call, and one of my colleagues will get right back to you.
Hang on, watch this.
Zero is not a valid entry.
Well, let's see what it is.
Hi, I'm Freddie.
Okay.
Thanks for calling the Alliance to Outfox phone fraud. Hi, I'm Freddie. Thanks for calling the Alliance to Outfox phone fraud. Please let us know how you heard about
To send your message, press 1. To re-record your message, press 2. To review your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 9. To cancel your message, press *.
Okay, let's hear it first.
To send your message,
press
1. To re-record your message,
let's not send
press
that.
2. Message canceled.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Goodbye. That's the end of that. Okay, well, they have a voicemail system, and this looks like it could be hours of fun, but maybe you shouldn't deal with those people as far as playing around with voicemail systems. I don't know, but what do you think it costs to join? I'd like to outfox them.
This should be free dues, I think.
Free dues. Yeah, okay, sure. I got news for you. The people that go around combating phone fraud are the ones who make the most money, okay? And the reason they make money is because people fear the things that they're preaching about. It's like religion. It's a lot like religion, okay? You go around, you're preaching about, you know, Satan and all that kind of thing. And then
you are Satan.
Yeah, and you ask for money, and people give you money, and then you go around and, you know, if Satan stopped existing, okay, these religions would be very upset because they'd have nothing to, you know, raise money against.
That's
Same
true.
Thing with phone fraud companies. Whatever they're called, I don't know.
Just like Satan.
I'm sure I'm going to be getting all kinds of letters about this, but, yeah, well, that's just the way it goes. Okay, the Dallas Morning News, you hear about this one? They scooped themselves, supposedly, okay? They had a story. They were afraid that if they printed this story, that they'd get an injunction from Timothy McVeigh's lawyers saying, do not print this story about how he confessed. So what they did was they put it on the World Wide Web. They put it on their webpage, saying that they had this particular information. And then, because it was already on the web, they reported on that. So they kind of used tactics that we've been using for years as far as getting stories out instantly and then making that into a story, you know, yourself. And it's resulted in quite a lot of press, publicity, things like that. And this story from MSNBC, the Dallas Morning News joined the company of Kevin Mitnick and Robert Morris on Monday by facing allegations of computer hacking. But there's a big distinction. Mitnick, Morris, and others in the Hacker Hall of Fame have been successfully prosecuted by federal authorities for violating laws against computer fraud and abuse, while Monday's allegations against the Morning News came from a defense lawyer concerned that leaked information was damaging his client's case. He accused the newspaper of violating three federal statutes by gaining unauthorized access to computer files gathered by the defense team. He indicated that those files were the basis of the newspaper's Friday story, which quoted McVeigh as acknowledging that he planned the bombing that killed 168 people in April 1995. Now, the Morning News said the documents were notes made by a defense team member during the interview in which McVeigh was quoted as saying he timed the bombing for daylight hours to ensure a higher body count. Since they are at best secondhand notes prepared for the benefit of McVeigh's counsel, they could not be used during the trial. It's interesting, though, because I'm not really getting a straight story from anybody as to how they got this. You know?
Where's the hacking?
Well, I guess they got into a computer or something. I'm not sure exactly what they're being accused of.
They could have slipped a floppy in the guy's machine when he was in the toilet.
I suppose that's possible. Or the person might not be still working for that particular legal firm.
It's possible.
And maybe he just gave it out that way, but I'm not seeing in either the accusations or the defense just what it is that they did. They're saying that they got it through legitimate means, but the legitimate means that they can't say what they are. And meanwhile, the accusations are saying that they hacked into a computer system and got this information, but they can't tell us exactly what they did.
That's just the headlines talking.
So basically we have this headline out there that everybody's interested in, but nobody knows where it came from. It's kind of wacky. All right, and let's see. One other thing, and then we'll get on to our main topic of the day. With the launch of five markets for Sprint PCS in February,
Oh, it's February now.
Well, you know, I don't understand, because this is March, and this story came out in March. And it's saying, well, I guess, okay, they have already launched. They've launched, they just haven't launched here.
So they have launched somewhere on the planet.
Yeah, okay, I can tell you where, too.
Okay.
Sprint PCS has launched in Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Little Rock, Arkansas, Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, Des Moines.
Yeah,
right.
At that place, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. Somebody must have given them some bad data as to where the customers are. that's where they're doing business right now.
Aren't they based out of, what was the first city that you said?
Tulsa? Oklahoma City?
They have an office there.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
It's Nortel 1900 megahertz CDMA PCS networks. They're serving Sprint PCS subscribers in those areas. Nortel is building 800 and 1900 megahertz CDMA digital wireless networks for such customers as Sprint PCS, AirTouch, BCTel Mobility, and Bell Mobility, which will ultimately reach more than 60 million potential subscribers in 28 North American cities. They don't say when they're going to be in New York. They should have been here by now. But we'll keep looking for them. The Sprint PCS is on the way, and maybe that will lead to some competition.
We hope.
David is he's back. You notice he came back
from
England. We sent him there on assignment. No, we didn't send him there. We can't send people to the corner, okay? So don't think that we're sending people around the world. You were in California on assignment, and you discovered there's no PCS service out there at all.
No, actually, what I did find out is that there is no such thing as Pacific Bell Mobile anymore. It's now, I think it was AirTouch or something.
Well, that's one of the companies I just mentioned.
Right, yeah.
AirTouch.
Wow. AirTouch, which I don't know who that is.
They're taking away the regionalism in the names.
Right, AirTouch. Yeah. And no more Pacific anything.
Well, a lot of people in New York have problems writing checks to something that says Pacific.
Yeah.
You know, so AirTouch is no problem at all.
Well, the problem my problem was twofold. First problem I had was that since I was a prepay customer with OmniPoint, they claim that I did not have permission to roam as a prepay customer.
Well, they have you on a leash?
So that
You're
was
not
a problem.
To go anywhere?
That's okay, what they Well, fine. After 6 months, I get reevaluated as a decent paying customer, and I'll get converted to a regular customer.
Okay.
And so I had that going against me. Then I was told that even if I was able to roam, that a problem out there that the AirTouch, Pacific Bell Mobile, whatever you want to call them, people were having is that the police department in Alameda County are using 1900 megahertz for something or another.
Well, who told them they could do that?
Apparently, they're not doing it with permission.
Well, I mean, that's just rude.
Yeah.
Police barging into 1900 megahertz.
It's
like
horrible.
That. Wow.
So who knows if that little signal indicator on the phone is the police or whether it's AirTouch.
You know how everybody got beeps from crazy places a few weeks ago because somebody entered the wrong PIN? You could be getting 911 calls on your PCS phone now.
It would be chaos and mayhem.
That's certainly what, what it looks like. David, you're back from England. What's the PCS situation like over there?
Well, over in England, there's a lot of choices. There are tons of phones, tons of accessories, and because of all the competition, there are tons of pricing schemes and strategies. It works out with the dollar exchange to be somewhat expensive, because over in England, if you want to get a phone or buy a phone to own, you have you can get it cheaply if you buy it with a connection service, which can be expensive. Can run anywhere from $40 a month to $250 a month. Now, granted, with the high end, you'll get like 540 minutes, you know, of what they call free time, but you are paying for it. But it comes as a package.
How much would something like that cost, 540 free minutes?
$270 American.
That's quite a lot. That's quite a lot.
It works out when you add up all the tariffs. That is quite expensive. Now, what I found from one company was that if I wanted to buy the phone that I have from OmniPoint, which in England would be the Nokia 2110i, I could get it for $140 if I paid to have it connected right then and there. And then the phone would be mine through that period of connection, but I couldn't own the phone. If I wanted to buy the phone outright, it would cost me 405 English pounds, which would be equivalent to about $760.
Well, that's pretty outrageous.
That's pretty pricey.
What if you already own the phone, though? What if you go over there now with the phone you now own and say you want to connect the service? Will
you
do that?
The phone that I now own is not a hybrid phone, so it only works at 1900 PCS, which is not going to do anything for me over in England.
Because they're 1800.
Right.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's sort of difficult in England to buy a phone without service. So they sort of ask you when you want to get your phone hooked up, you know, if you have some sort of receipt of service or receipt for the phone.
But they use the same type of service all throughout Europe, don't they? All different places. So, I mean, you could buy something in, say, Bulgaria, right? And if you do that, then you just bring it over to England and say you lost your receipt.
Well, the beautiful thing is with so many different stores...
Works at the Wiz, anyway.
You'd have to find a merchant who would be willing to service you, but they ask a lot of questions. They're very leery about if you come in with a phone.
Mm-hmm.
They start asking like half a dozen questions about where you got it, who's, you know, what services it hooked up on, what the number was.
So they're still in the suspicious mode. They haven't quite gotten out of that yet.
Well, I found a couple of shops because I found some people who met me over there and took me around. Mm-hmm. And what's beautiful about London is there's this one street called Tottenham Court Road.
Ah, yes.
And you just walk down. It's, you know, familiarly known as TCR.
Mm-hmm.
And you just walk down this one street. On each side of the street, there's like at least a dozen or two dozen stores. And I was able to go in and out and like play one against the other and get really good prices on accessories that aren't available here.
Uh-huh.
The bad thing about all the different phone systems are that you have to walk around, like I did, with three different phones for the week, strapped to your belt, you know, depending on where you are and what part of London, some services work and some don't.
You did notice, though, that more people over there use these phones than here. Almost every one in three people seem to be using a cellular phone or a PCS phone.
Well, it works out to be cheaper in some instances because they meter all the calls there.
Mm-hmm.
So a local call, you know, that spans maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3 kilometers,
mm-hmm.
depending on where you're calling, you know, can cost anywhere from 50p, which would be about, I don't know, about 85 cents,
right,
up to sometimes a pound 15. I mean, there's a wide variance. And also, when I was talking with someone from a regular POTS line to
right.
their cell phone, they asked me to please like hang up and dial their landline because they told me they were getting charged between 50p and a pound a minute. You know,
for you calling them?
Right.
Because I know there are services where you call them and you wind up paying. They don't pay.
Right. The thing is, there's no uniform structure.
Uh-huh.
In some cases, you'll get like free weekends. You get these some special deals, but that's not a regular occurrence.
Okay.
And
so you have to shop around quite a bit.
There's at least 5 or 6 different systems out there.
Mm-hmm.
And what's nice is there's a magazine called What Mobile,
yeah.
which publishes like two page spread of all the different tariffs that tells you how much each phone call is going to cost you. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4. There are eight different services ranging from CDMA to PCS to GSM to analog to, you know, a hybrid analog and digital.
Basically, they're ahead of us, aren't they, as far
yeah.
as all this kind of thing goes?
It gets really quite confusing. I mean,
yeah.
what's easy about here in New York City is, you know, it's OmniPoint.
I guess so.
OmniPoint.
Well, I've shown you the Bell South rates that I talked about last week. And I still think that nothing beats those.
Well, Mark and I were talking about this earlier. The
yeah.
fact that Bell South is a phone company, so they get to get around a couple of things like
yeah,
the tariffs.
They don't have to pay themselves tariffs
uh-huh.
to connect to landlines.
Well, I mean, aren't there certain things in effect to prevent a company from having an unfair advantage, like a phone company?
Not in their case.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not aware of another company in Bell South area trying to compete and not being able to because Bell South has an unfair advantage.
Well, I don't think it's a question of not being able to. I think anybody is equally allowed to. The thing is that, why bother?
If what you say is true, why isn't Ninex in the business of this?
Locally?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it sounds like they could have the market to themselves.
Yeah, but I think that kind of goes without saying.
Yeah, but they're not doing anything.
No. Well, it's Bell Atlantic Ninex Mobile.
Okay, well, whatever they're called.
I think the thing you should remember is that the Bell Atlantic comes first. I don't think Ninex has very much say in that.
Uh-huh.
But there are competitors in Bell Atlantic. Bell Atlantic Ninex Mobile itself does not offer any sort of GSM service.
Are they planning to?
I haven't heard any word that they are even planning to.
Mm-hmm.
There's a company in the D.C., Virginia area which does. I think the name of it was APC or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And they offer GSM service.
And just to wrap this up, because we've got to get onto the crisis that's facing New York City.
Right.
AT&T, their PCS service
yeah,
is
we should,
not,
we should
not really PCS service.
No,
let's
it's
just
a PCS-like service.
Okay.
What AT&T is offering is PCS-like features
uh-huh.
over the existing digital cellular network.
Okay, and in 25 words or less, why should that matter to anybody using the service, whether it's PCS or PCS-like?
Well, number one is you're not using the handy-dandy little SIM cards, the little smart cards in the phone.
Right.
It's just a regular digital cordless with PCS features. So you have these custom calling features, like I'm assuming like email and things like that, and station-to-station messages that you you'd expect from a GSM phone, only it's on a regular old-fashioned digital cellular phone, not GSM.
Okay.
The other thing is that you don't have the expectation of privacy that you have with GSM. There isn't any kind of black box cryptography going on with digital cellular. It's just, it's digital.
You can't listen in on it, though, can you?
What, digital cellular?
Yes.
You simply need a little more expensive equipment.
Okay. Well, we'll get details on what that equipment is. Yes, we've got to get into this other story. I don't want to spend all...
Just one last thing.
Yes.
Because of a lot of the fraud that's been taking place, they have now stopped in England taking online registration on the actual phone itself for accounts.
Oh, good for them. I wouldn't have ever taken that. That's... you know, just today, I got mail from some... I won't mention the company. I don't want to embarrass them. I really don't. I got mail today in the U.S. mail from some company billing me for a couple hundred bucks for software, and it gave all the information. All the information was fake that whoever this person typed in. And the phone numbers were 555 numbers. The zip codes were like they had letters in them. It's so obvious that it's wrong, but they just have this web registration thing going on, and they just accept any data whatsoever and blindly send it out to whoever asks for it. So you got to wonder, you know, do these companies, can they really qualify as victims of anybody but themselves? I don't know. Okay, let's get to the main thrust of today's show, which is the crisis facing New York City that was announced last week. And that is that, friends, we are running out of room in the 212 area code. Some of you apparently have been hogging numbers, and now we all have to pay the piper because of that. To quote from the New York Times article, in the Life Gets More Complicated department, 9X said that by the end of next year, some Manhattanites could lose area code 212, and that all of them, all of us, may well have to dial 11 digits to reach our friends uptown, around the block, next door, or even upstairs. They're going to bring in a new area code, 646. That's right, 646. Well, that's one of the plans. There's a couple of different plans. But the main plan is to bring in 646 and have some sort of geographically recognizable boundary. Some people are saying 42nd Street. Some people are saying 5th Avenue. Some people are saying 125th Street. Now, the problem with 125th Street is that that's only going to buy us a little bit of time. There's one plan that says, okay, forget about 646. Make everybody above 125th Street 718. And, you know, let them join the Bronx and Queens and Brooklyn and Staten Island. So that would get rid of the need for 646, but that would only buy us about a year before 212 runs out of space. Now, here's another option. The other option is that all new service would be given 646. So if you get a new telephone, you have 646 area code, even if you're in the same house as a 212 number. The advantage to this option is that no current 9X customers in Manhattan would have to change their numbers. The new code could be applied to all new lines, including cellular phones and pagers, which are currently assigned 917 area codes. And it could accommodate new customers for up to 6.5 years, according to 9X. Now, here's the weird thing. Okay, the catch to that is some FCC regulation, which I don't understand the reason behind. Maybe you could explain this to me. That says anyone in a region where an area code overlay exists, overlay is what we just described, where there's two area codes in the same area, they are required to dial the area code for all local calls. In other words, to ensure equal inconvenience to all, that's what they say here, to ensure equal inconvenience to all, everyone in Manhattan would have to dial 1 and then the area code and then the number, even when calling to a 212 area code from a 212 area code.
Now, I don't know that that's necessarily true. I mean, we have an overlay area code, even though it's not physically anywhere.
That's not an overlay. That's not considered an overlay.
They don't consider 917 overlay.
I don't think so. That's some other kind. There's another term for it. But overlay is when there's two equal types of area codes in the same area, and that everybody that has a new number in that area gets the new area code.
The only time I've ever heard of where you actually had to dial 1 plus the area code you were in in order to reach somebody was in certain places, mainly further out west, where an area code spans beyond the LATA borders.
Okay.
So say, for example, right. there's two different regions, two different regional calling areas with two different rate structures, yet the same area code. If you're in the first LATA, you could call anybody you want just by dialing the 7 digits. If you're trying to call somebody in the other LATA, even though it's the same area code, you need the 1 plus the same area code to indicate that it's a toll call.
Right. Right. That's mostly to get around their archaic equipment.
Right.
So that they know how to charge you and things like that. Well, in the past 4 years, the demand for numbers in the 212 area code has more than tripled, according to 9X Executive Vice President. But it's not just a local phenomenon. States like Connecticut and Arizona, rather, once area code unified, they had the same area code for the entire state, have recently been divided. It's estimated by 2025, the entire country will likely run out of numbers and the phone system will have to be remapped according to some other plan, say 8-digit local numbers instead of 7. Now, you see, that's what I think they should have done for this particular crisis, before this ever happened. Now, last year, they expanded the area codes to not have 1 or 0 in the middle.
Right.
All right. Confused everybody. You know, nobody knows where anything is anymore. What? 320, that's Minnesota. 732, that's going to be part of New Jersey. Yeah, we're going to remember that, sure. You know, and 646, I don't see how people are going to be able to remember 646, you know, even within Manhattan. What they should have done is added a couple of numbers to the local numbers, okay? Since we already have this bizarre phone system, which doesn't really match anything else in the world, I think just adding a number or two would have created so many new possibilities that we wouldn't have had to split any area codes.
The problem with that is that it's not downward compatible.
Uh-huh.
It's not downward compatible to the older switching systems that might exist. And
why is it that we seem to always be crippled by the capacity of these older systems?
Well, why is Windows 95 still compatible with DOS?
Don't get me started on that. That's the way it is, I guess.
Yeah.
We'd like to know from our listeners how they think this particular problem should be dealt with. How do you feel? Would you be comfortable in 646? Do you think the dividing line should be someplace? Are there other suggestions that you might have? I can hardly wait to hear what Rebel comes up with.
Oh, yeah. Well, we should just clarify, though, that by Bellcore's projections,
right.
212 is not going to be exhausted until the fourth quarter of 1999. So it's not like this is going to happen tomorrow.
They're saying 1998 they're going to do this.
According to Bellcore's website, which I visited this evening, it said fourth quarter 1999 they expected it.
Well, 9X says at the end of 1998 or the beginning of 1999, Manhattan will run out of phone numbers.
Well, we'll see who's right.
Now, you used to be part of 212.
I used to be, a long time ago, back when I lived in Queens. Uh-huh. It was in the early 80s. They created 718. And they gave us all buttons to try to make us, you know, feel better.
Uh-huh.
In the mail, it said, "I am a 718. It's not long distance." That's what all the buttons said.
Wow, but it did hurt, didn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, all the stickers on all the phones had to be changed that said 212. And you know, it was chaos and mayhem.
But I mean, the social stigma. You weren't really considered.
We weren't part of the city
anymore. 212.
Yeah.
You looked down upon.
We were merely bridge and tunnel people.
People across the country knew that you weren't really in Manhattan because you were 718. And the Bronx was 212 for a while, and then...
Yep, then they got moved.
Then they got moved as well.
Yeah.
So this is not something that is to be taken lightly.
No, but at least 718 looks like an area code.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it does.
646. We got to find. I don't know off the top of my head, but we got to find out where in Manhattan 646 Exchange is, because those are the people that are going to get all the prank calls.
Well, we can find out right now, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get them on the line. Okay, no, we can't get a line there. Let's try that again. Okay. We dial 646, and then 9901. That should tell us where it is.
We're sorry. The number you have reached is not in service.
Uh-oh.
Please check the number and dial again.
You know, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
That's like a beeper. But what's it doing in area code 212?
I don't know.
I think we just found an illegal beeper service.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be a 917.
They should have all been moved by now.
Yeah, it's because of things like that that we ran out of phone numbers in the first place. Oh, well, anyway, okay, so... 646, do you think that's the best choice they could come up with? I don't. I think they could come up with something much better.
No, I don't. I didn't actually look over the list of what's still available. But
who is it that decides? Who says 646 is what Manhattan gets?
The North American Numbering Plan Association.
Yeah, but who there is the person that says 646?
Oh, the one single person?
There's got to be somebody that comes up with it. You know?
Well, it must be somebody at Belcor says, you know, how about this? And 9X says, and we don't like that.
How about this? Okay, is the area code, 692. Is that taken? It spells NYC. 692. Easy. NYC, seven digits.
It's like a good domain on the internet. It's probably taken.
What, you think it's a 692 area code someplace?
There could very well be.
I don't think so.
Try information.
Well, information charges money, so I'm going to try the operator.
Okay,
hold on. Actually, you know, I think the operator has this scam going where they connect you to information when you ask a question like this. Let's find out. This is weird. I think we'll get a human. You know you'll get a human when they don't
answer. May I help you?
Yes, hi. I need to know where area code 692 is.
Okay. We can connect you directly. They can tell you that if you'd like.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hold
on.
I see what's going on here.
9X?
Yes, hi. Is this information?
Yes, it is.
I'm looking to know where the area code 692 is.
692, one moment, please.
Thank you very much.
That's not an area code.
It's not an area code.
No, it's an exchange in one of the, it's either in Long Island or in Manhattan, but it's not an area code.
Okay, while I have you, can you tell me if 646 is an exchange in New York?
Hold on, please.
Thank you.
646 is an exchange in it's in downtown Manhattan.
It's in downtown Manhattan.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Bye-bye. Well, that was one of my more profitable calls with information, but, okay, so 692? They're available. I mean, that's just a thought, but there might be better ones out there. I think our listeners might have some suggestions. 212-279-3400 is our phone number, but for how long? Could I say 646? I can't even say it. It doesn't feel right.
Sounds confusing.
It's like saying President Reagan. It just never quite caught with me.
You'll have to start saying 1+, so people know, like, when you're done saying the number.
And that's the other thing. With all these crazy area codes intended to dialing, why do we even need 1+ anymore? Why people come here from other countries, right? And we give them phone numbers. We give them phone numbers in area codes, in parentheses, rather. Area codes in parentheses.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't tell them that they have to dial a 1 first. Do you know how confused they get? I've seen people in tears at airports trying to figure it out. You know, they're at Kennedy Airport. They're trying to call somebody in 212, and they just never get it because they don't think they have to dial the country code before which is what it is.
Yeah.
One is the country code. They have to dial that before the area code to get through. So it's quite crazy. We're going to go to the phones. David, do you have something?
Yeah, there was a segment on television over the weekend about this, and they had a Bell Atlantic spokesperson on saying that in some parts of Jersey, it may work out that people would have to dial 2 area codes because of overlays to dial a local number. Now, what's funny was Bell Atlantic was saying this, yet they had, right afterwards, someone from 9X in one of their control rooms saying that, No, this is all scare tactics, you know, by other R-Box.
What do you mean, dial
2 area codes?
Because they said that the way they were doing these overlays, that they had people in the beginning would have to dial, for example, let's say the area code was 343 and 646, they'd have to dial 343, 646, then the phone number, and they started to have these posters up and billboards from Bell Atlantic talking about, you know, 10-digit phone numbers, hey, your combination lock for your gym locker, you know, is more confusing than that. And this is the actual billboards are going up about.
I think some sort of aliens have invaded these people's minds, and that's they're just trying to bring down the whole system, because I can't imagine dialing more than one area code to get through to something. I mean, carrier access codes are now 7 digits.
That sounds like a confused spokesperson.
It sure does. They should be reassigned. Let's go to the phones. 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, speak up.
Oh, boy, I don't know where to start. There are 4 people at Belcor, who decide on new area codes. There were formerly 5. They're 4 now. They're called, logically enough, numbering plan administrators. By the way, do you have a copy of New York Telephone Company, that's still their legal name, report to the Public Service Commission in case 96C1158 on the upcoming split of the 212 area code?
58, you say?
96C1158.
No, I don't have 58 here. Tell us what's in that one.
Maybe you should call Mr. Jerome M. Balsam's office on 212-395-6507 and ask a secretary for a copy of it.
Well, have you seen it?
I have it in front of me.
What's contained within it?
Well, it goes, let's see, conservation procedures, alternatives, geographic split options, including the northern Manhattan geographic split. That would be, let's see, that would be, hold on. Bum, 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 bum. That would be, sorry.
You think he really has it?
There's a possibility.
That would
could be the phone book he's flipping there.
No, no, okay, come on. That, okay, wait a minute. Four, wait a minute. Section, I should have just done it by page number. Okay. Oops, I'm sorry.
I think this is a Bell Atlantic ploy to keep us from discussing.
Northern Manhattan geographic split. That would have been roughly corresponding to 59th Street, but they also tell how what an incredibly complicated and inconvenient thing that would be,
mm-hmm.
because while they would have to give something like a single street that everyone would know as a major divider, like 59th or in one of the other proposals, 42nd, that's a Midtown geographic split, the next little chapter here, subchapter, that the central office lines are not divided along...
Right, of course.
Whereas on Fifth Avenue apparently does divide a lot of them east to west. Anyway, so the northern Manhattan geographic split is roughly along 59th. The Midtown geographic split would be roughly along 42nd. The southern geographic split,
southern.
As it's called, hold on, I think that's along roughly Canal. Give me a second.
Well, everyone south of Canal will stay in 212 and everybody else will change?
Well, not quite. Wait a minute. Section 4.1.3, Southern Manhattan geographic split alternative. This alternative would also split Manhattan into north and south geographic area codes. The southern MPA numbering plan area serving area that would get a new area code would extend from the southern tip of Manhattan at the Battery north to Canal Street. Hold on. The northern area would extend from Canal Street to the northern tip of the island. Boy, talk about the tiniest territory area of any area code in North America. Okay.
This would be pretty small.
This alternative would provide the Southern Manhattan financial community and government offices with a different area code from the rest of Manhattan. The Southern Manhattan composed of three central offices, Broad Street, West Street, including Pearl Street, I guess that means it's really two buildings, and the World Trade Center, and also parts of the Varick Street Central Office.
Let me just ask you quickly, because we want to get through some more phone calls, but does New York Telephone or 9X or whatever, do they come up with a preference of a particular plan?
They do. Recommendation, Section 5. But first, let me just quickly, the Manhattan L geographic split, is 4.1.4 is the east-west along Fifth Avenue. Hold on. Northernmost tip of Manhattan, well, it's, of course, it can't be the northernmost tip of Manhattan on Fifth Avenue. Its northern end is about 135th Street. But anyway, it would run from the Harlem River and 135th down Fifth Avenue to Central Park. It would continue to Washington Square, west, then down West Broadway to Canal. At Canal, it would turn right.
Oh, yeah, this is great. I can remember all this.
To the Hudson River. Well, no, that's easy. Fifth Avenue, West Broadway.
They should call this the Magic Bullet or something.
And Canal. Okay, now that's... That's the, that was the 414. That was the east-west.
Uh-huh.
The L, okay. This one, wait a minute. This would establish an L-shaped split for Manhattan. It would use a boundary line running from the Hudson River east along Columbus. Now, this is crazy because Columbus Avenue runs north and south, so I don't know. East along Columbus Avenue to the north. They mean from the Hudson River to the northeast corner of Central Park. The boundary would turn and continue south along 5th Avenue to 23rd, where it would turn east toward the East River. The new area code was...
All right, sir, this is fascinating, but we're running out of time. I just got to ask you, which one do they prefer?
They prefer the only logical one. I have to agree with them. Recommendation, Section 5, page 10. Give me a second here. By the way, you may remember back for the September 1st, 1984 split of... between 212 and 718, that they proposed having everybody dial 8 digits. And I don't... If you were calling from other parts of the country,
uh-huh.
you would still have dialed 212 plus 7 digits or 718 plus 7 digits. But within the five boroughs, if you had a 212 code, you would have dialed the third digit of that, that is the second two, plus the seven-digit Manhattan number. And if you were in the other four boroughs, you would have dialed the eight of the 718 plus seven digits. See how that works?
Well, that saves you a couple of numbers from within, but it doesn't solve anything as far as the area code running out of numbers.
Respond to why do we need the one? Once everybody is dialing three plus seven digits for all numbers,
we won't need the
then
one.
Then we won't need it.
Right.
I cannot understand your objection to giving up the zero or one in the middle. There was no other possible way to go. By the way, cities all around the world are going to eight digits. London, as you know,
right.
It's going to go 020 plus eight digits. That's
I just think we're seeing way too many splits, and I think it could have been dealt with a lot more uniformly.
Sorry, the average moron cannot handle more than seven digits.
Well, I don't know.
And
I don't know.
That's why...
We'll have to ask some average morons. Listen, we have to move on. I'm sorry, we have to get on to some more phone calls because we only have 15 minutes left. Okay, good evening. You're on the air. Go ahead, speak up. Okay, you got to speak up, folks. That's the rule here, okay? Put your ear on your phone, and when you hear my voice, that's when you start speaking, okay? It's very simple. The phone is ringing until we pick it up. All right, good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
Very good. What's
I'm
up?
I'm calling to find out... what is number to make your phone ring in New Jersey in the 201 area code?
I don't know New Jersey off the top of my head. I think it's 660 plus last seven digits. That's what it is in many places. They might not. We'll need some input from some New Jersey people.
Okay, thanks.
All right. New Jersey people, I know this doesn't affect you at all. And you may think it's kind of, you know, comical for us to be struggling with this here in New York City. So, you know, if you have something to say about it, give us a call. But please, we're talking about... You know, the crisis facing New York City with the 212 split. I think I have two solutions. All right. One is to simply swap 212 and 718, okay? That would preserve 212 and keep it in the hands of New Yorkers, all right? So everybody in 718 gets a 212 number like they had back in the old days, all right? And then 718 has to worry about exhaustion and all that, which nobody really cares about, all right? The other solution, and I think this is something 9X should pay strict attention to, okay? You pay your bill late, right? You pay your phone bill late, your number gets turned into a 646 number, all right?
That could work.
Yeah, that could work really good. Because not only do you label the people with this big scarlet 646 on their phone bill, but you wind up getting better payment schedules from those people that want to preserve their 212 number. More money coming in, more honorable people. You know where the dishonorable people live.
Rebellion.
I think rebellions, you know, that happens occasionally. You gotta
people
deal
with start
that.
Printing up
it's
t-shirts.
It's just a thought. I think it's a lot better than that L-shaped thing going on.
That wasn't even an L. Are you following this geography?
It was just like
a squiggle.
It was like a scar is what it was.
Yeah.
All right, good evening. You're on the air. Now, you see, you didn't follow the rules, all right? Come on. Well, it's so hard. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. I had two things.
Yes.
One is, it's kind of disgusting that, you know, the phone company is, you know, they're complaining that it's not downgradable. With you know, this is the phone service being able to have eight digits.
No, I'm claiming that because it's true.
That's completely disgusting. That's
okay.
Disgusting that they can't afford to upgrade their service, you know, for their customers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you know, to help them to help us as far as customers and give us easier access to the phone system, they don't want to upgrade their system.
See, in virtually every other country in the world, it works differently. Phone numbers are variable length. And it might sound confusing, but what it boils down to is that if you live in a small town, you dial four numbers, and you have a longer city code. So you wind up dialing the same number of numbers from outside the area, but it's divided up. A four-digit city code is a small town, a two-digit city code is a big town, and they have longer phone numbers.
Well, when I lived upstate, we had to call, like, we had to dial one before just the local exchange of the next town over. And they just ended that, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, I'm saying, like, you know, they can't afford to change the system, but we're going to end up having to change it anyway in the future, and it's going to cost more money because then it has to be done.
What would you like to see happen in this case?
I'd like to see one or two extra digits on every local phone number, you know, and keep the area codes. But, you know, then we have, like, it's like what they're doing with the IP addresses. They're adding, you know, they're upgrading the IP addresses so you have more numbers on the
How
end.
How are they upgrading the IP addresses?
Coming out with IP version 6.
Yeah.
Okay. And what will that mean to us?
Well, you'll have... You'll have a longer address space than 32 bits.
Uh-huh.
What do they say? There's like a trillion, or I don't remember how many actual digits it comes out to, but there's like a trillion different combinations. Or
well, the biggest problem with the current IP, which is version 4, is that... Jesus. Somebody's trying to call me.
I'll unplug that thing.
Yeah, the biggest problem with IP version 4, the current version, is that when the net first came online, you know, back in the late 60s, early 70s, mm-hmm. they assigned a lot of Class A addresses, which were addresses basically where the first number of the 4 was significant and the last 3 was not, so they wasted a hell of a lot of addresses early on.
We're getting into the wrong crisis here. We'll save the IP
different
crisis. Yeah, the IP crisis for another time, but thanks for the call. Let's continue talking about 212 and the problems that we face. Good evening, you're on the air. Speak up. Okay, I love hearing my voice, but not over the radio. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to talk about how maybe they should just add a number to the area code instead of adding numbers in the...
Now, there's an idea, four-digit area codes.
Like 2122.
Yeah.
And then 2121.
That is something, I remember somebody suggesting that a few years ago. What's so hard about that? You add a 2 to every area code.
Yeah, something like that.
I think that would be a great idea.
That'd probably be easier.
I mean, imagine if they had done that before they allowed all the other digits inside. You'd be able to easily tell an area code. You know, it'd be, say, 2718, 2212, you know, and then you make 2213 or whatever,
yeah.
Or 3212. Yeah, okay, this is how it works, all right? You add that 2 to the beginning of the area code, right? 2212, then 212 runs out of numbers. You have 3212, then 4212, et cetera, et cetera. You always know 212 because it's always following that first digit, and you could preserve everything. But it's too late now because they already broke it.
How did they break it?
By splitting all these. They have 732 in New Jersey now, and you got, what, 860 in Connecticut, and all these numbers, 954 in Florida. You know, nobody can remember that.
That's true. But would it be possible with the existing equipment to do that?
What, to have more than three-digit area code?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, that should be possible. That would be a lot easier to do.
Okay.
But that affects everybody in the country. But, you know, I think it's better to affect everybody in the country once rather than affect everybody ongoing forever, you know, in these little tiny splits.
Well, in the same way, if you make an eight-digit phone number, it affects everybody in the country.
That's true.
Same way.
Yeah.
You got to add a digit somewhere eventually.
That's
basically
true.
Basically, and so long as they can do it without adding numbers to the number, I mean, like...
Well, is it a harder matter to add numbers to the actual phone number to make it eight digits instead of seven, or to make area codes four digits instead of three?
If you're going to talk about areas that are still using older switching equipment...
Uh-huh.
That stuff, like, with the eight digit, they'd have to change all those, right?
Yeah, that would be just something that isn't feasible. Because the way that the older switching equipment works is that you have thousands, you have hundreds, you have tens, and you have ones. The way that the call actually gets switched in the last four digits.
When we're talking about older switching equipment, what are we talking about?
I'm talking about, like, pre-electronic. I'm talking about, like, crossbars.
How many
stuff.
People are still on crossbars?
There's still lots of rural areas out there.
And these rural people, they're dragging us back.
Yeah.
I should be careful. Our show gets out to them now. we love you guys, you farmers out there.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be anywhere without you. Okay. 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air. Okay. All right. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about the area code debacle that they're having right now.
Uh-huh.
Why don't they just split up the reasons who's using what, like pagers or 917 along with cellular phones?
Well, they did that already.
Yeah. And like, let's say... modem lines like PC lines and all that, separate that in one section, and PCS on another area code.
Well, PCS is on another area code. They're on 917 as well. 917 isn't in danger of splitting, not right now anyway. The only thing I could think of them splitting is business and residential. They could do that, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, because that's the reason why we're losing the numbers is everybody getting a phone for some piece of hardware on their table.
Right.
Yeah, and another thing, one question. A friend of mine has been somehow he's scammed on his long distance. Like when he had somebody run up like $1,000 in one day on his long distance on one call in 1 minute of a particular time. There was like,
I'd like
three
to know
different calls
uh-huh.
in the same at
oh,
the
I
very
see.
Same time or
right.
something like that.
Right.
Is that like somebody actually hardwired taps into the basement of your building, or is that like somebody hacks into the computer system and bills you?
It depends how the call shows up. I mean, if it's a calling card, obviously they don't have to be on the premises. It could be anywhere. There's all kinds of ways of making it seem like a call emanated from a particular location without actually being there or even being hardwired in. I think it should be a pretty easy matter to prove that the person didn't do this since they began at the same time or occurred during the same time. Thanks for the call. We're going to move on to some more people hopefully dealing with the 212 crisis. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I was just veering off the topic a little bit with the IP addresses.
Okay. Don't veer too much here. Just
real quick. Yeah, okay. The thing is, a lot of people are registering, like, huge networks, and they only have, like, one computer on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all these commercial companies, they have separate Class C networks for each product they have. Like, you have beer companies, Miller, and then you have another network for Miller Lite.
Uh-huh.
And that's, like, wasting a lot of addresses right there. Because you can probably get one network and, like, separate it into all the products. Like, when they have the web pages and everything.
Right.
They just take up a network for each a network of IP addresses for each product they have, and that's wasting like thousands right there.
I think you're kind of confusing it with somebody registering a domain name for every product they have, which has nothing to do with allocating IP addresses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if you have in the name server, I think it wants a separate domain is allocated per network, where inside the name server you have to give the domain the network. I've never really set up a name server by hand, but I think I've read that somewhere, that to set up a name server for the domain, uh-huh. you'd need to allocate an entire network.
No, you don't.
Okay, I guess that wraps that up. We'll have to talk about this some other time, because this is not the topic for tonight. Good evening, you're on the air. Okay, that's wonderful to hear that. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Sounds like you're in a car.
I am. Just turned the radio down because I couldn't hear. 646 is an exchange in Brooklyn in Sheepshead Bay and Brighton Beach, and that's Nightingale. That's what the old determination was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I grew up with it, so I know that. Same with, there's also Dewey 2, so it doesn't make any sense why they picked 646.
Well, it's NIN for 9-inch nails. Maybe that's got some interest.
Your show is great. I've been listening to you for the longest time.
Well, thanks. Do you have any suggestions as to how we can get past this crisis?
I think that your idea to add the additional number at the beginning of the area code is the way out. I don't understand why they didn't do that in the first place. If you go down to, say, Mexico, that's the type of area codes that they have.
Or you add a number at the end of the area code. That actually... that sounds better, because any 212, it's always beginning.
Well, I liked your 212, 2212, 3212, 4212. Well,
something
I think that
similar.
That's better.
Yeah.
And, right, well, and that they screwed everybody up with the 718 to move that into Brooklyn, and now they screwed up again with Bronx and Queens.
Yeah.
But keep up the great show.
All right, listen, thanks for calling.
The content is great, always.
All right, take care then.
Take care, Mario.
Bye-bye. All right, well, obviously, the issue still has much to be discussed. And, I think if we start a movement, we maybe can get these four-digit area codes. I think that's kind of a cool idea. And it was one of my ideas. Well, actually, a listener called in with similar ideas. But
you thought of it first.
I thought of it a few years ago. And I remember other people talking about it a few years ago. And it just never seemed to go anywhere. I don't know why. But it would be a lot easier. Like, instead of having 888... You know, you have 801, 802, 803. You know, you just have all these different area codes, and they're all 800, so you know they're all toll-free.
What'll they do in, like, the year 3025 when they run out of phone
I
numbers?
I don't really care. But, you know, we're out of time, so we'll have to discuss that next week. We'll see you then. Good night.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. Shaving. Now I can't make a call. It couldn't get much worse. But if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bump for the best expect the worst. I hope that's understood. But Billy Bump. Deep end, Barker.
In commemoration of International Women's Month, the 40th anniversary of the independence of Ghana, and in solidarity with the democratic forces in the Congo Zaire, the Patrice Lumumba Coalition is issuing a call to all Lumumbas, revolutionaries, working class, oppressed, and freedom-loving people to attend an African International Forum, Generations of Resistance Against Imperialism in the Heart of Mother Africa, a rally to support the legacy of Patrice Lumumba, and a reception for his son, Friday, March 7th, from 6:30 p.m. until 10 p.m. at the Harriet Tubman Learning Center, 127th Street and Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Boulevard in Harlem. Special guest of honor, Francois Emery Lumumba, president of the Congolese National Movement. Special invited guest speakers, Marcus Garvey Jr., Dr. Betty Shabazz, Kwame Ture, Dr. Rashida Asmeli Abubakar, Viola Plummer, Ilunga Kalanzo, Samori Markson, Kimati Dinazulu, and Ilambe Brass. For further information, call area code 212-663-3805. That's area code 212-663-3805.
And you are tuned to listener-sponsored WBAI-FM in New York City. The time now is 9 o'clock. Coming up, Housing Notebook.